going on?
Not much. Just relaxing.
Are you excited?
I know. Here I am. Saving your ass one more time.
All right. We're going to do a little intro thing because I want to do it proper, buddy. You ready?
Well, I'm kind of scared. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to the May 11th, 2012 episode of Deadbeat Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Steve-O.
You're supposed to say who you are, Steve. Hey, Steve, what's going
on?
I'm
Steve. Hey, not much.
You hear that in the background?
No.
I'm still working with my Skype. And there's somebody already calling. But in case anybody was wondering, Steve is replacing Uncle Bill on the show.
Yeah, it's about time. I think the fans have kind of clamored for some new blood, and new blood means an older man.
That's right. Steve is about as old as they come, but he has been a loyal member of Dead Pit. He was one of the first Dead Pit security guards until we fired him years ago. And
yeah, but I mean, I don't think one failed drug test really should result in a termination.
Yeah. So basically, Uncle Bill called in sick again, and I told him to go fuck himself forever. Because here's the thing. He hates doing the call-ins. Everybody knows this, right? And I'm not a big fan of doing them either. But I will fucking do them. Every once in a while, I'll do them. Now, the only reason he's not doing this, just my humble opinion, is because of the call-ins. He doesn't want to fucking talk to any of you motherfuckers.
You, the Dead Pit Universe.
That's right. He's turning his back on you again, folks. Can't believe it.
Oh, my God. I can't keep track, because he's just spinning around.
Well, for a while there, he was doing pretty good. He was doing pretty good for a while.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, he's good for a little bit.
So yeah. He evidently is working late tonight or something like that. That's the excuse I was given. So, no Uncle Bill on this exclusive call-in show. And that's all this show's going to be, Steve. So, it's up to the Dead Pit Universe whether this show's going to be worth the fuck or not. What do you think of that?
Well, I hope the DPU, a.k.a. Dead Pit Universe, comes through for us.
That's right. So, we did a little intro thing here. We're going to take a quick break because I know another thing that's special that's coming back for this show. We have a brand new edition. Some other people wanted it, but it's an original Dead Pit segment. It's Back to the Future.
Hello everyone, I'm Adam Beck, and welcome to a brand new edition of Back to the Future here on DeadPit.com.
Friday the 13th, Part 3 in Super 3D. The all-new process that puts you in the picture. Whether you want to be there or not.
May 13th, 1983 just so happened to fall on a Friday that year, so Paramount Pictures decided to take full advantage by re-releasing their most current Friday the 13th film. This time, Friday the 13th, Part 3 in 3D. The film was originally released 8 months earlier in August of 82 and did fairly well, taking in $9.4 million in its first weekend of release. This time, however, the film would pull in only a modest $788,000, coming in number 10 at the weekend box office. The following year, in 1984, Universal Studios released the Stephen King adaptation Firestarter, starring Drew Barrymore. The film opened at 1,356 theaters and came in number 3 at the weekend box office, taking in $4.7 million. On May 13, 1988, Paramount Pictures released Friday the 13th Part 7 in 1,796 theaters. The film had the third best opening for a Friday the 13th film, just behind Parts 3 and 4. This time, Part 7 brought in $8.2 million during its first weekend, opening number 1 at the weekend box office. 2 years later, in 1990, Taurus Entertainment released the sci-fi action film Class of 1999 in 320 theaters. The film grossed $2.4 million in its opening weekend, coming in at number 13 on the box office charts. This week in 1994, Miramax released one of the most talked about films of the year, the James Ovar comic book adaptation of The Crow, starring the late Brandon Lee. Lee, of course, died more than a year earlier in a tragic accident while filming the movie, and the film was later completed using a body double along with computer-generated effects. The movie premiered in 1,573 theaters and opened number one, taking in $11.7 million. To this day, I'd say this is still one of the best comic book adaptations ever made. The sequels, however, not so much. In other openings this week, back in 1999, we saw the release of Universal Studios' The Mummy, which opened number one, taking in $43.3 million. In 2000, Warner Brothers released the sci-fi turd Battlefield Earth, which opened number two, taking in $11.5 million. In 2004, we had the premiere of Universal's Van Helsing, which opened number one, taking in $51.7 million. In 2007, Fox Atomic released the zombie hybrid 28 weeks later, which was beat out by Spider-Man 3 in its second week to open at number 2, taking in $9.8 million. And finally, last year, Sony Screen Gems released the action horror film Priest, which opened number 4, taking in $14.9 million. Anyway, I'm Adam Beck, and this has been Beck to the Future for the week of May 7th.
Hi, this is Don May Jr. from Synapse Films, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome back. Wasn't that an amazing edition of Back to the Future, Steve?
I mean, that's as good as Back to the Future 1, you know?
Yeah, that brings
back
me...
Back to the Future 2 is a little weird.
That brings me back there. I'd like to go back there, if only for a day. So anyway, we've got a lot of people calling in. Let's see who we got here. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian and not Uncle Bill. Who's this?
This is John.
What's going on, John? How's it going, brother?
It's been pretty good, man. How are you guys?
I'm doing good.
Good.
All right, that's good. I wanted to talk about, we'll talk about a film that you two didn't agree on pretty much. How about we talk about Cabin in the Woods?
Okay. Well, I didn't really like it too much. I don't know what Steve, what'd you think about it, Steve?
I mean, I like the idea of it, and it's very cool idea. I'm a big Joss Whedon fan.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I definitely don't hate it, so I would say I want to see it again at some point, but I mean, I wasn't blown away, and it's not changing horror and all that jazz, so I think it's gotten like a little bit, I mean, it definitely, when people say all that stuff, that kind of leads up for disappointments. It's a pretty good watch, but it's not like earth-shattering filmmaking or storytelling.
John, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, when I saw the movie, I didn't think it was like people are really putting it over, saying it was like, you know, the new movie to move horror ahead, but like, I don't know. I mean, it's not a bad movie. I'm not going to, like, I don't think I disliked it at all, but I really don't think it's the next big thing. Like, Scream was the big thing in the 90s, and I don't know. I don't think we've gotten that really in the 2000s. I mean, some people would say like Saw, but I don't know. Saw's kind of shitty.
Well, the weird thing though, like thinking back on it now, because I didn't know this when we were watching it, like that the movie was shelved for like 2 or 3 years because it was originally an MGM movie or something like that. But like to me, it looked like a direct-to-video Lionsgate movie. It just didn't look like something that would be in theaters for one thing. And like I think towards the end especially, it become just a big clusterfuck to me. I was like, well, this is too much. You know, I was like, what the fuck? I was kind of rolling my eyes, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't know what's going to be the next. What do you think, if you had to say, what do you think the next big thing is going to be that really moves us along ahead? Like, what do you think that one film's going to be?
Oh, man, I wish I knew. Never know.
I think that's the funny thing.
What were you saying, Steve?
How about that Rob Zombie movie?
That
could be.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, you just never know, because it's always something that usually comes out of left field. It's usually, like, something that's bought up, like, independent that's bought up. And, you know, kind of like The Blair Witch was, or, you know, Sixth Sense or something like that, where, like, it just, you know, it's just crazy. And then, but the thing is, like, movies like that, like Blair Witch or whatever, like, it made a ton of money. But then the problem with that is, after it's a success, you have like a gazillion copycats. And the horror genre seems like it's doing better, but, I mean, it's just the way things go, really. So, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I don't really, for some reason, I think we're going to be in this, you know, lull for a couple more years until something big comes out. But who knows? I mean, it could come out tomorrow.
I agree with that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, people were really, really putting Cabin in the Woods over. Like, you either hated the movie or you loved the movie. There wasn't really many mixed people, but I don't think that's the next movie to move us along. I mean, it wasn't a bad movie, but for people to praise it that high, it's just ridiculous to me.
I think people are just, they're really wanting to see that next big movie. That's probably part of it, you know? But anyway, man.
Yeah, definitely, because.
Go ahead. Hello? Did we lose him?
Yeah, I'm still here. My bad.
Oh, okay. But,
my bad.
Anyway, man, I'd like to thank you for calling. Is this the first time you called in?
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, definitely call in. Call in again. I mean, whenever we do it again, who knows? But, we appreciate you calling, and, you keep it creepy.
I will, buddy. Peace.
All right. See you.
Later, Tater.
Hello. You're on Dead Pit Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian. And Steve. Who's this?
This is Aaron.
Oh, this isn't Aaron Fry, is it?
No.
Okay. He no showed again. I was just going to make sure he wasn't trying to call in. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Did y'all get to go to the Avengers?
I haven't seen it. Steve has seen it, and he loved it, didn't you, Steve?
Yeah, me and my girlfriend are going to see it Saturday morning again. It's just a great time at the movies.
Yeah, it is. Where is Uncle Bill?
Uncle Bill is, he no-showed. I don't know. I think he had to work late, and he had to clean out some shitters and stuff like that, and, you know. He's getting into trouble at work, so he had to stay late, I think.
No wrestling promoters are ever going to hire him because he keeps on no-showing.
That's true. They call him No-Show Bill. No, but hopefully, like, if we do one of these call-ins again, I can, you know, get his ass down here. Who knows? But Steve is here. Are you familiar with ST3B?
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm a... I'm not even familiar with myself.
He's what you call a dead pit groupie, Steve.
No, right? I'm not a groupie. I'm part... I don't want to even go into it. There's litigation between Wes and myself, so...
Right. Well, yeah, I've got Eric C. Kahn is going to be calling you soon, Steve. I want you to know that.
All right.
But I'm looking forward to seeing the Avengers. I probably won't see it until, you know, it's on Blu-ray or something. And I know I poke fun of, like, you know, the comic book movies and stuff like that, but I do actually enjoy watching them, but I just don't really watch them in a theater. Mainly because there's not a lot of decent theaters around here anyway, so it's probably going to be a better experience watching on my home theater.
Yeah, that'd probably be a better idea. We'll save your money.
Yep. And plus, like, I can't stand little bastard kids running around screaming and shit, and you see those a lot at those superhero movies and stuff.
Aaron, did you see the movie? Aaron, did you see the movie in 3D, or did you...
I said in normal 2D.
Yeah, I did too. I heard it
in 3D right now. It's like, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, I don't not. I'm just, I thought it was just great in 2D, so I don't feel like wearing glasses for 2.5 hours.
Nothing to see where, oh, cool. I mean, I'm getting messed up right. Creepy's getting from going to theaters because I had to put up with the girl's phone going off every 10, 20 minutes.
Mm.
I couldn't stand it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is about 3D glasses and stuff is, like, it's a cool gimmick, but I'm like Steve, I mean, like he was saying, like, I can't, watching an entire movie, to me it kind of distracts from the actual movie. Like, maybe sometimes that would be good for some movies that are coming out, you know, but I just, like, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes, it's cool. I think that's what they should do with the 3D movies, like some of the big action sequences or something. Be like, okay, put your glasses on. This is when the 3D starts. Instead of having you sit through it the whole time, because it does get distracting.
That's what they did with Superman Returns. They only had like a few scenes in 3D, and they would let you know, put your glasses on, then you just take them back off, you know, put them back on at the end. I think that's probably a better way to do it, unless everything in the freaking movie is going to pop out at you for every second of the movie. Otherwise, people sitting around talking, I don't think I need to see that in 3D.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of the movies, too, like, they're not even 3D. And they like, in post-production or something, they just fuck with whatever and make it 3D. Like, why? Like, I guess so they can charge more for tickets or something, but that doesn't really do anything. Like, who gives a shit?
And your hatred of the 3D could take away from your love for the movie.
Yep, exactly. But Aaron,
you go back and go ahead.
I was just going to tell Aaron, I appreciate you calling. I believe you're a first-time caller as well, and definitely when we do this again, try to call in more. We're going to, you know, it seems like it's working out pretty well so far. We've got a new lot of callers calling in and stuff, so we may be doing this again sooner than later.
Can I ask you one thing before I get off here?
Sure.
That's not movie-related.
Okay.
What was your thoughts on Brock Lesnar coming back?
I think it, they completely fucked it up in the last pay-per-view. I mean, that whole thing didn't make any sense because the next night they were kind of acting like he was winning that he won the match.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
I'm like, what the fuck?
I see they're going to have him back in SummerSlam.
Yeah,
hopefully.
You know what though, man? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually just went ahead and had Brock Lesnar and Triple H in the next pay-per-view. It seems like they can't build anything up at all. You know?
Yeah, no new stars at all, like, except for CM Punk or Sheamus.
What was you going to say, Steve?
Makes me mad.
They only got Brock Lesnar for a limited amount of dates. So I think they're going to... You know, I don't know if they blow it away on one of the secondary pay-per-views. I think they would actually wait to at least SummerSlam. And I think that's one reason why they bought in Paul Heyman, because he can keep that alive, without bringing in Lesnar.
That was a good move for sure, bringing Heyman back. But they should have brought him back from the get-go, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have. Big misfired not to do that.
I think, like right now is like a... is a pretty bad time to watch wrestling because it seems like they're just kind of coasting for a little while. The only thing that was interesting at all in that show, the last Raw, was the Heyman thing. Everything else was like a fast forward, you know.
Yeah, that was very random, man. I was like crazy. Comes out of nowhere.
Yep. Anyway, Iron Man, I want to try to take some more phone calls, but appreciate you calling, and definitely call back again whenever we do this again.
I will.
All right. Take it easy.
See ya.
Later.
Bye.
We got call-ins like crazy, Steve. Oh, God. Hello. Creepy Kentuckian on here with Steve, and who's this?
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's Mike Morrissey.
What's going on, Mike? How's it going with you?
Hello.
Good, man. What you guys been up to? How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. Thanks.
Steve's just been on here playing with his wieners. He's listening to me talk. I don't know what the deal is. I'm a little uncomfortable.
Ah, playing with wieners.
Can't help it.
So just, you know, everybody does that.
At least it's mine, not somebody else's.
Well, that's tomorrow night, though, isn't it?
Nice.
I'll just leave if y'all gonna make fun of me. I'm not gonna put up with all this.
Oh, everybody loves Steve. Especially Dana.
Oh, okay.
Dana can't shut up talking about you on Facebook, buddy. You gotta love that.
Yep. Hey, you guys probably won't believe this.
What was that, Mike?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was gonna say you guys probably won't believe this, but I'm going to Sweden in like 2 days. I'm going to Sweden for 10 days. I'm gonna go check out all these metal clubs, and that's my vacation this year.
Oh. Well, that should be interesting. There's a lot of good-looking females in Sweden, too. So that was the home of Christina Lindbergh, as I remember right at that, Steve.
Yeah, you find a Lindbergh, you're done.
I still think, like, of all time, she's got to be in the, top five of all time.
I met her at a convention once, and I asked her, you know, where she's from. She said Gothenburg, and that's one of the towns I'm going to, so I'm going to have to look her up.
Oh, yeah. Take her out on a town, buddy. Still to this day, she's got to be in her 60s or close to that. She looks pretty damn good for even that age, you know.
Her body is incredible. I put my arm around her, and it's like hard as a rock. Her belly is as hard as a rock.
Okay. I bet that wasn't the only thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unfortunately. Yeah. Mr. Happy came alive.
Little Steve.
Nice.
So, are you doing that instead of hitting the convention circuit this year or something like? Because I've talked to a few people that are thinking about, you know, going to horror landmarks or something, or just doing something else rather than spending all their money at horror conventions and stuff, because that does run into a ton of money.
Well, I plan on going to the same one I go to every year here in Chicago. That's Flashback Weekend. This year is probably going to be one of the biggest because we got John Carpenter coming.
Yeah, that'd be cool for sure.
Whoa.
Yeah, definitely going to do that. But yeah, I'm just doing this vacation, excited about it. Just thought I'd share that with you guys.
Cool. Man, well, it was good talking to you, and definitely have fun on your trip and let us know how it goes. Take a lot of photos and stuff. Put them on your Facebook so we can see how Sweden is.
I will. Do you mind if I do a little shameless self-promotion?
No, go right ahead.
Well, recently, as I'm sure you've known, I've started to record my own film commentaries, my fan commentaries. Uh-huh. And if the Dead Pit Universe wants to hear them, they're on. You can go to my Facebook group page. Real easy to find. It's Mike Morrissey's Film Commentaries, and there's all the links to the website where I have them, and you can download horror commentaries, comedies. There's about 11 up there right now, so enjoy. They're free.
Very cool, man. Well, you take it easy and have fun on your trip.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
All right, take it easy. Actually, Steve, I guess you could plug your all's commentaries. You and Dana do commentaries, too, over, like, just different stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we've played around. We did some for Death Proof, Roadhouse. We did a limited run DVD of Friday 13.5.
I've got one.
And we're actually going to try to do... I know, yeah, you got a limited edition. It's the limited edition.
I'm going
to
sell it on eBay.
Go for it. You probably get in trouble, but
has me extras has me at age 22 watching all the movies in a marathon.
I do need to watch that at least.
It's pretty funny. Yeah, you got to watch that because I look like a freaking idiot because I was drunk as hell
as usual
half the time. And
For anybody that wants to check out our commentaries, we've got all kinds of them. Steve can vouch for how killer they are, can't you, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely the Friday 13th Part 5 one is just one of my favorites. And, of course, like Hostel.
Twilight.
Hostel.
Another one.
Did you ever get Twilight? Like you listen to you guys sit around. Huh?
You got the Twilight one, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean it's fun. I mean it's you watching it, but really it's just like you just like you're on a road and the movie's going one way and you turn off on a side road.
That's true.
And you never come back to it.
Was that the one where we were actually singing in the? Which one was where we were singing?
Yeah.
That was Twilight. I knew.
You sung in that one a lot.
Anyway, so we got a bunch more people calling.
Go for it.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit with Steve and CK. What's going on?
This is Crater Bowles.
Hey, Crater.
Oh, Crater Bomb.
What's going on with you, buddy? I bet you didn't expect to hear Steve's ass on here.
Do what?
Said I bet you didn't expect to hear Steve on here. You thought it would be Uncle Bill, but he no-showed again.
Yeah, I just seen what you all were doing tonight, and just see you all, if you're talking about anything horror tonight, and I just figured I'd tell you all that me and Candace, watched Dawn of the Dead last night. It was technically her second time watching the movie. Because first time she tried to watch it, she didn't really pay that much attention.
Well,
so
buddy,
she watched it all the way through last night.
Look, you need to tell her that she's got to watch Dawn of the Dead and she's got to pay close attention to it. How awesome it is.
There will be a test.
No, but the thing is, like, with me and Dawn of the Dead, believe it or not, like, the first time I saw Dawn of the Dead when I was like, I think I was about 14 or 15 or something like that. I didn't like it either. I was like, what in the fuck is this? Because to me, at that point in time, I was watching a lot of the bigger budget movies and stuff. And, you know, Dawn of the Dead's a pretty low budget movie. And it looked like, I swear, I don't know if I think there is some sort of connection with the types of cameras that were used and shit. The first thing I thought of, and I was like, God damn, this is filmed like fucking Mr. Rogers or Sesame Street or something. Just the look of it, you know, the film stock and stuff. And turns out, like, both of those were made in Pittsburgh, those shows and shit. So I don't know if there's something to that or what.
Yeah, maybe about 30 minutes ago, we finished watching Day of the Dead, and that was her first time watching that. She loved it. She said that was actually, she liked it better than Dawn of the Dead, and, is one of the best horror films she's ever seen.
Yeah, Day of the Dead's probably my favorite of, like, as far as the ones I like to watch over and over again from Romero.
Did you watch it on Blu-ray?
No, we didn't watch it on Blu-ray. I just have it on DVD.
Because, I mean, I've only seen it on DVD. I know they come out with a Divimax version of it from Anchor Bay or something, but I recently got the Blu-ray.
Yeah,
the Blu-ray is just amazing looking.
You know something else, though, that I was, because both you guys have Netflix, I know, I was looking up stuff on there, and they've got some stuff in HD on Netflix that's not even on Blu-ray. Like, they actually have Jason Goes to Hell in HD on there.
Oh, hell.
I'll have to check that out. Because I want to see Creighton Duke and High Def.
That should be interesting.
Creighton Duke is an integral part of that fucking story.
The reason we were watching these movies, the reason we were watching Dawn and Day is because we're getting ready, because next week we're actually going to Pittsburgh next week and to Monroeville Mall and all the filming locations of Dawn of the Dead, and stuff. So
yeah, so that'd be cool. I'd like to do that.
That's really exciting. They were.
You know, they shot Evil Dead like, or it's Morristown, Tennessee, or somewhere like that. It's like 3 hours from where we live. Like, I don't know what's left from there, from the movie, but
we'll get a rock or something.
Yeah,
dude.
Somebody said that the if you can find the cabin, that some of the foundation from the cabin is still there or something. I don't know if that's true or not, but
supposedly, like I said, like some of the chimney or something still laying in the woods or something.
I'm gonna take a fucking sledgehammer and get me some of it. By God. Sell that shit on eBay.
I saw somebody care. Somebody was selling like stuff, parts of a roof or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I can't remember where I saw that, but somebody had pieces of tin and stuff from a roof, and it's like it's from some movie. And I was like, what the?
I know those
piece of a roof.
Fuckers from Fright Rags or something was selling like special edition T-shirts with like a bag of dirt from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Or what the fuck? It was something like that. Like you can get a bag of official fucking chainsaw dirt.
Yeah, I think they were did something like you if you buy one of their shirts, like they had like a can of the dirt that was like that was in front of the house where the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house was.
Well, boys, I want to take some more phone calls. You want to stay on here a little bit, Crater?
It was good talking to you guys. So.
Well, you can stay on here if you want to, but I mean, if I don't hear from you again, have fun at the. I know you're going to a big screening tomorrow night or something, aren't you? Too.
Yeah, I was going to mention that to you. I found out what movies they're playing tomorrow night.
Okay,
they're playing Zombieland, Scream 4, The Thing remake, The Devil Inside, and Dream House.
Dude, there ain't no fucking way I'd make it through that shit. I want to tell you. I thought they was going to play like old movies or something.
Yeah, that's what we thought it was going to be too. But
are you still going to go?
Do what now?
I said, are you still going to go to it, or are you kind of...
Yeah, I guess we still will. I mean, like, since they're giving, like, free chicken and stuff.
Oh, fuck yeah. Is it free fried chicken?
They're giving, like, free chicken dinners away and free cocktails and all this other stuff.
But they might be 10,000... They might be 10,000 people.
$5 a carload, so why not?
Hell, they can fit 15 Mexicans in one car, no problem. They're going to be broke, boy. Anyway, Crater, man, it's good talking to you, and have fun at all the stuff. I mean, you're going to all kinds of shit. We're going to go see Bret Hart here in a couple months, too. He's going to be in...
in July, we're going to see the Hitman. That should be awesome.
You ought to go down there with
really
us, Steve.
I'm about to have cream my pants when I meet him.
Yep. All right, man. Well, you take it easy, and we'll talk to you here again soon.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Peace.
Bye.
Rack City, bitch. Rack City, bitch. 10-10-10-20s on that titty, bitch.
There's a screening this Saturday for Carrie in Louisville, so.
Oh, yeah. You and Dana are going to that, aren't you? Hello. You're on Dead Pit Radio. With the Creepy Kentuckian and Steve. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on?
Not too much. How you doing, Bulls?
Pretty good. You been all right?
I've been doing pretty good, buddy. You sound like you're from somebody around here. Are you from Eastern Kentucky?
No, I ain't from Kentucky. I'm from Georgia.
Well, hell yeah, it's close enough. That'll work.
By God.
By God.
Yeah.
You can go deer hunting, squirrel hunting like all the other creepy Kentuckians, so it's about as good as being from Kentucky, I guess.
I reckon.
So what's going on with you, man? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I was just thinking about something that I know you and Uncle Bill talk a lot about the state of their genre and everything, but I think it's just, I think that we basically just ran out of ways to tell the story. I mean, you know, they've been making films for over 100 years, and I think we were always, just not horror, but we were always going to run into a time where there was just nothing else to do in the way of filmmaking.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get what you're saying. I mean, it's like film has been around since like the late 1800s in one way or another, so there's only so many stories you can tell, I guess. But, I mean, honestly, if you really look at it, in the last 50 years, a lot of those stories have just been retold over and over again. I mean, you can look at, like, you know, the zombie movies is sort of all, it sort of all goes back to, like, Frankenstein or something, you know. So I just think, like, yeah, I don't know if people want something entirely original. I just think that as long as you give the people something that's actually fucking entertaining, you know. I mean, and that's something that they haven't really been doing lately. It seems like that with a lot of the remakes and stuff that have been coming out, like at least in the last 3 or 4 years, that they're just, the studios are like, oh, we've got, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street. Let's get this shit out as quick as possible and make our money. And they don't really give a shit about actually making something that's good.
That's true. Well, that's true. But I think Cabin in the Woods, you know, I don't think that they were spoofing horror movies. I think they were just spoofing storytelling in general, because it really is. It's just a bunch of cookie-cutter bullshit. You just take what's new and you plug it in the holes. I mean, that's why I really like Cabin in the Woods. I think it was just a satire on storytelling in general.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it a original film. But I'm with you, too. I mean, I think it's worse on horror movies because you really can't do much character development because you can't get scared or build up suspense when you have a character reciting 2 or 3 pages of dialogue. I mean, Quentin Tarantino couldn't even pull that off at Death Proof, and he's the master of dialogue.
Well, you know, I think Steve's going to defend Death Proof until he dies over here.
I mean, I like Death Proof. I can definitely, when I first saw it, I definitely was like, oh, are they ever going to shut the hell up? So I know it definitely has a lot of talking in it. My favorite part of the movie is actually the beginning, the first hour or so. The second group of girls is when I was like, they just want to talk and talk and talk. So I can definitely understand someone's opinion on that.
The thing about Death Proof to me, though, was like Kurt Russell, man. I mean, like, if they didn't have him in the movie,
yeah,
I would have probably completely hated it. I mean, I've always thought that that was the better of the two Grindhouse movies. I like both of them, no doubt. And I wish they would have done more. But I think that whole formula.
They did.
Oh, fuck. They did. What the fuck was the name of that?
Hell Ride, baby.
Yeah. That Hell movie Ride. Sucked dick, too, by the way. Hell Ride. There's a reason that wasn't a part of Grindhouse. Anyway. But, I mean, they didn't do. When the studios, it seems like anymore, you're talking mainstream movies, which. To me, I would rather see a new horror movie in the theater. I know some people don't care, but, you know, to me, I just get the atmosphere.
Watching horror movies in the theater.
Yeah. But the thing is like the studios in the last 2 or 3 years, they're just not coming out with shit. I mean, I don't know how Cabin in the Woods really came out other than the fact that Joss Whedon's name was associated with it. I guess that's how it came out.
The other guy was
yeah.
Thor. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the real reason. Those are the two reasons why it came out instead of just going direct to DVD or staying locked up on some shelf somewhere.
Yeah. But it seems like a lot of the studios, though, when it comes to horror movies that don't have a name behind them, doesn't have, like, a franchise behind them, they just don't come out, you know. I mean, there's, like, a handful that have come out in the last year, really. I thought Insidious was one of the best ones that came out like that didn't really have a big name behind it. And it really made a lot of money. I mean, I think if the studios take a chance every once in a while, they will get rewarded, you know, if the project is actually something good, because I think word of mouth really, really helped Insidious quite a bit.
That's true. I really like Insidious a lot. I liked it. I thought it was very good.
Yeah. But man,
the amount of money that they had on that project.
Yeah. They the thing is, like the studios, like if you have a low budget horror movie, most horror movies don't need a big budget. I mean, to me, so that should be your number one genre to come out with stuff, you know, in September and October. Just give them a $5 million budget or something like that, and make sure it's a good project, you know, and you're guaranteed to make your money back and probably, you know, make a pretty decent profit. But they want to give a lot of these movies just this big freaking budget, and they're just not making them at all anymore, unless it's like Paranormal Activity or something.
Well, I agree with you on that. I don't think a horror movie should ever have a budget over $10 million at the most, top.
Right. Well, it's just not needed, especially if you're doing like a slasher movie or something. I mean, come on. But anyway, man, I appreciate you calling in. It's good to hear from another fellow redneck / hillbilly, I guess. We don't like hearing from uppity northerners too much on here.
I'll talk to you later, Tater.
All right, buddy, take it easy.
Try to stay wise.
All right. That's what I'm talking about, buddy.
I'm
gonna
try.
You gonna try to stay white?
Yeah.
I don't think think either of us is gonna have a problem ever staying not white, because we're probably two of the whitest motherfuckers known to man. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, since I stopped going to tanning beds because I found out it was gay.
What'd you say?
I said I stopped going to tanning beds because I found out it was gay.
Okay. We got another caller on here.
We do. Hey, CK and Uncle Bill, the first time calling.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm from Texas, and I just wanted to call. I'm doing very good. I just wanted to call and give you a little story about Texas Frightmare.
Okay.
I went to this weekend. Me and my girlfriend went up there. Lydia, I think y'all know her as Horror Queen.
Oh, yeah.
She drove up there.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most memorable call-ins that we ever had in the history of call-ins. I don't know if you actually got to hear that.
She's played it for me.
Oh, okay.
Hilarious. I love it.
That was easily, the most memorable call-in ever.
But I got a story about, have you ever seen the movie Satan's Playground?
Yeah. Dante Tomaselli, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I love that movie. Anyone who hasn't seen it should see it. But Ed Neal was at Texas Frightmare. And he's a real interesting guy. Has a really interesting fashion sense. The dude just dresses really flamboyantly. And it's just a pretty awesome dude all around. But he told us some stories about this movie, Satan's Playground, because we had just seen it. And so I asked him about it. And he was telling me when they filmed in New Jersey, they were shooting in the... in a swamp that they grew cranberries in. And so all the fog you see in the movie is all natural, right? And that's not even the interesting part of the story. The interesting part of the story is he said when they were filming, running around the woods out there, he actually tripped over a dead body, a frozen corpse that was just lying out there in the swamp.
Holy shit.
And I don't know if anyone's heard about this story or confirmed it. I haven't tried to look it up or confirmed it, but he was telling us that he tripped over this frozen corpse out there. And so they called the police. And when the police showed up, these kind of, you know, New Jersey cops show up, and you recognize the corpse immediately. They're like, oh, yeah, this is so-and-so. He's like a local gangster or something. And they start kicking the corpse and laughing. Yeah, we finally found this guy, you know? and they're all sitting out there just watching them shocked, you know? And I just thought that was an interesting story.
I've never heard that.
I'd share that with everyone.
Actually, we were kind of close with the director for a little while. I don't know what he's doing now, but I've never heard that story. I mean, he actually, we've been in contact with him a couple of times, and was going to have him, Dante Tomaselli, on the show. But yeah, if we ever have Ed Neal on the show, I'll definitely have to ask him something about that. I'll try to remember that one.
Yeah, you should ask him about that. He was telling us about it, and he told us, who was the actress that he, like, there's a scene where he's chasing the lead actress through the swamp with and, like, stabbing her. And he told us that he almost stabbed her in the face, like, that they choreographed this whole scene. And the moment he stabs and hits the tree, her face goes the wrong way, and he gets, like, an inch from stabbing her right through the face.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
He told us some interesting stories. He's a really, really nice guy, really interesting guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lot of people may not realize, too, he, as his full-time job, he, like, does commissions for, like, movie posters and sells, like, memorabilia, movie memorabilia and stuff like that. If you ever mention that to him, like, we've talked to him about that before. He has, like, you know, a warehouse full of, you know, theatrical one-sheets and stuff that he has, like, a catalog of stuff that he sells, so it's pretty cool, too.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll have to look that up.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the few people, you know, when we went there, of course, you know, they had the area there that was just all Texas Chainsaw, actors, and of course Gunnar Hansen had a line, and, you know, they were just kind of sitting there in the corner. We just walked up to, Ed Neal and just started talking to him. And what kind of sucked about Texas Frightmare this year was everyone's charged for even photos and, you know, even signatures were $30 this year. But, but despite that, even you can walk up to certain people and they still talk to you. And, of course, you know, we go up and Gunnar Hansen has a line and Ed Neal's just kind of sitting there hanging out. You know, we just walk up to him. He starts talking to us, you know, gets out of his chair and just, like, tells us all these interesting stories. And he was a cool guy. I'll have to look up his memorabilia business, so I'd be interested in checking that out.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if he has a website, but, I mean, you can email him, and I think Adam Beck, another friend of mine online, like, he bought some stuff off of him, so he definitely, he makes pretty good money at that. I mean, I'm talking about, like, vintage, really old posters, like, expensive stuff. He has some of that stuff, too, so. But, anyway. What'd you say, Steve?
I was going to ask if he got a chance to hang out with the man himself, T-Shirt Joe.
I did. I got a chance to hang out with T-Shirt Joe. You know, we went over, and of course we kept going back to his booth because, of course, you know, his shirts are all, you know, $10. So I'd buy one. We'd go walk around a little bit. And I'd be like, man, you know, I'd get money burning a hole in my pocket. I'd be like, I got another $10. I'm going to go buy another shirt. And I ended up buying, there was in the movie Rape Squad. I think it's called,
I bet Steve has seen it, I'm
Acts
sure.
Acts of Vengeance. Like, it's the PC version of it is Acts of Vengeance.
Yeah.
And,
it's on Netflix. You should check it out.
Is it on Netflix? Okay.
It is.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix, but it's called Acts of Vengeance instead of Raid Squad. And I bought a shirt from him that, of course, I'm only going to be able to wear at certain places.
Right.
Raid Squad. It has all these girls throwing, like, kicks and punches and, like, beating the shit out of this dude. And then I bought another shirt, The Simple Dwarf, which is another movie that
I really like,
and I bought that from him. But unfortunately, you know, obviously, you know, we're hanging out with Joe, so beer's involved, we're all getting drunk, and I left my Simple Dwarf shirt there. So I didn't get to take that one home. Oh, and Lydia got the, I don't know if y'all seen this one, the Serbian film shirt that says, I like the Serbian film, so fuck you and your baby.
No, I haven't seen that
one.
I did. I'm curious if he had the two girls, one cup shirt. Have you seen that one?
Oh.
Which one?
It's the two girls, one cup shirt.
I have, and you designed that one, didn't you?
I think so. I don't know. I've never seen it in person. I don't know if anybody's actually bought it. Okay. But that would be like a, you know, I mean, that's just an amazing design, I thought. I mean, that just popped in my head one night, and I was like, that's got to be a shirt, you know.
You know, he should have taken some of I didn't see any of those at the table, but, you know, since they had the Human Centipede 2 guy there, he probably could have sold a couple, at least to him.
Right.
You know?
Well, I actually made one for Steve. I made one for Steve, too. but I don't think Joe ever made it either. It's like a spoof on the Coca-Cola It says "Enjoy Cock" on it.
I don't think I've seen that one.
No, that was Steve's. I was going to get that for Steve, but I don't think Joe ever printed any of them up. Maybe a little bit too hardcore, even for convention audience. I don't know. But anyway,
yeah, that's what I always like about T-shirt Joe's booth is he always got, you know, all these movies that, like, the, you know, just real horror fans are going to be into. You know, it's like,
that's true. And they're always the cheapest shirts. You know, Joe doesn't make any friends at these shows because, like, everybody else is charging, like, fucking $20 or $25 a shirt, you know. And people, you're spending $30 on an autograph now. They're not going to have a whole lot of money, you know, another $25, $30 to spend on a T-shirt. So, you know, they're going to Joe to get that shit.
Oh, yeah. We spent all our money there. Lydia and I are completely broke now. We're just kind of waiting to get paid now, just like eating spaghetti. Like, because I mean, and I did, you know, I did buy a couple $20 shirts because, I mean, they got so much awesome stuff there. But you're right, you know, the price is kind of, you know, you can't beat, you know, fast custom shirts as far as $10 a shirt. I mean, I got a whole list of them that I want to order.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, I guess this has been like a whole commercial for fast custom shirts. But Joe, you owe us money, brother. Anyway, man, it's good talking to you. I don't think we've ever talked before, but I know you on Facebook and stuff like that. And
absolutely. Maybe one of these days, you know, we'll make it out to Kentucky. I know there's a convention coming up, but we're not going to be able to make it to that because we're obviously, you know.
Yeah, we definitely have enough shows in this area. But yeah, if we can ever hang out or something, that would definitely be cool. But I appreciate you calling. And
absolutely.
You take good care of Horror Queen.
All right. I will.
See you, man.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. That's one lucky man right there, Steve. One lucky fella. Don't you agree?
Yeah. It seems like a very...
You're a pussy, dude. You're a flat-out pussy.
What?
Well, we've had a ton of people call, so I appreciate everybody calling in, and we'll be taking some more calls here in just a little bit. Still waiting on some more people to call, but we've had quite a few.
Yep, had some a lot of new people. Only, I think, Crater was the only...
the only old one. We got another person on here right now. You're on here with Creepy Kentuckian and Not Uncle Bill. It's Steve.
Oh, yeah, this is John.
What's going
on?
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. I'm just a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, we've had a lot of first-time callers tonight. That's good, for sure. Anything in particular you want to talk about?
No, what you guys have been talking about, just the new movies out in theaters right now.
A little bit of that. Somebody called in about a couple people want to talk about Cabin in the Woods. Have you seen that one?
What's that?
Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
There's a lot of discussion on that. The Avengers, which I haven't seen. Everybody else has, it seems like, so...
I'm not in rush. No rush to see that one.
You got the Dark Shadows coming out this weekend too. You looking forward to seeing that one?
Well, I've never seen the TV series, so I don't know what it's about or any of that stuff.
Well, I don't think you'd have to see the TV series, judging by seeing the previews. It looks like it's going to be a little bit different. But
I know, PK, you're a fan of Carrie.
Yeah.
And I was listening to some of the cast interviews for that Dark Shadows, and did you hear that Chloe Grace Moretz was going to be cast in the Carrie reboot?
Yeah, I did hear about that. We'll just have to see. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. I think they tried to remake Carrie before with probably the best person I could see playing that character, and it still didn't work, you know. So we'll see.
I was thinking, go ahead.
I was saying we just have to see.
I was thinking that what's the name, Amanda Seyfried, that played in Jennifer's Body, you know?
Uh-huh. You'd think she would be a good Carrie?
Yeah, like, she might be able to play Carrie pretty good. I thought maybe, you know how she played the characters and, you know, how she played that in Jennifer's Body.
Well, the thing is, though, is you gotta find somebody young enough to be a high school girl. And I don't know, I think she's
I think she's a little older. She's like maybe 24 or something, probably, isn't she?
Yeah. I mean, maybe she could pull it off, I think. I don't know. It just depends on how they handle it. I'll actually, for what it's worth, I mean, I actually like the Carrie sequel. A lot of people shit on that. The Rage, Carrie 2, that was actually one that I kind of liked. Not too many other people did, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't really have any strong feelings one way or another about Chloe Moretz playing Carrie in the new one.
She is about the right age. I think she's only like 15 or 16. Yeah,
Steve is actually going to go see the original Carrie this weekend, though. That's what he was mentioning earlier. They're having a 35mm screening of it somewhere in Louisville. Is that right?
Yeah, if anybody's nearby, it's going to be great. It's the Baxter Avenue Theater.
Yeah.
They show every couple seasons, they show just random movies. They showed Tucker and Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Mm-hmm.
And Hobo with a Shotgun on 35mm.
That was the one that we actually saw.
We'll check it out this weekend.
With our good friend Jason Payne, back when he was a good friend. Suspiria. And you missed it, Steve. How in the fuck?
I had to go to a UFC fight, dude.
Fuck the UFC. Really?
Well, now I say that, but back then I was into it.
Yeah. But
what do you guys think about the big four horror franchises? Where do you think those are headed in the future? You know, the Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. Are we going to get sequels to those or what?
I don't know, man. I mean, I was asking Felcher about that. Like, what do you think about, like, because I think Nightmare on Elm Street's done. I don't know if they can do a sequel to that remake.
Yeah.
But the Friday the 13th one, I'm surprised they haven't started working on one yet. I mean, I don't know what the deal is with that. That's a strong freaking franchise to me. I would at least have a new one every 3 or 4 years. Texas Chainsaw's got a new one. It's coming up. I don't know if it's late this year or early next year.
You think we're gonna get a reboot of the reboots? You know, like they're doing with the new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
You think they'll just reboot the? I think it'll still stay with the same studio, New Line Cinema, because I think they hold the rights to those for a long time, you know, those two.
Yeah.
So maybe a different production company instead of Platinum Dunes. Yeah. I'd rather see that. I've had enough of Platinum Dunes.
With the Friday the 13th sequels, though, it's almost like, back in the day when the Paramount was doing them, it was almost like it was a reboot every time, although it was the same formula. I mean, Jason is in the fucking lake, and he fucking somehow comes back to life. Like, that's the majority of most of the movies. I just think that the New Line, it started with Jason Goes to Hell with them, and they just put way too much thought in those movies. And that's something that Paramount didn't do. That's one thing that Paramount did right. In the end, the Friday the 13th series is just a stupid slasher series. I mean, I love them to death. I love all the movies, but they're not great movies, you know. I mean, they're like fun. It's like a roller coaster or something. They can't think too much about it.
And the Halloween series, I think that's pretty much dead in the water for a while now. You know, Rob Zombie did that.
I see them rebooting that too. So.
Yeah, I don't hate Rob Zombie, but he just wasn't the right person to direct Halloween, you know? But Michael Myers in Halloween was never known as, like, sleazy and brutal. I think he would have been better directing, like, Friday the 13th or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, I'm interested in seeing the new one that he's working on. So we'll see how that turns out. Salem.
Lords of Salem.
Lords of Salem, yeah. But, Anyway, dude, I appreciate you calling. We're going to try to take a couple more phone calls, and it's always good to hear from new callers and stuff. So definitely when we do this again, be sure to try to call back. Hello? I guess we lost him. He hung up, Steve.
Well, you made him upset.
I did. We got some more calls coming in. Let's see who we got here. Hello.
Woo!
You're on Dead Pit Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian and ST3 to the B. Who's this?
This is Kelly. Take it easy, 04 from the board. About the same time.
Hells yeah. What's going on, dude? I think you've not called in before, or is this the first time?
What's up?
Is this your first time calling in?
Hello? Yeah, well, I've tried before. This is the first time I got through, though.
Hell yeah. Well, congratulations to you, buddy. You get to talk to me and Steve.
Oh, shit.
So what's...
better than the birthday cake.
Hell yeah. So what do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, it sucks. I haven't got to see the Cabin in the Woods yet. I've heard... Apparently you're the only one that doesn't like it. I've been meaning to watch your... on the road, but I didn't know if there was any spoilers in it or anything.
Yeah, there's spoilers in it. We can't do a review without spoilers. I don't know. We're just too simple-minded, I guess. Steve didn't like it, though. You didn't like it, Steve.
No, I did like it, but I just don't. I think it's been talked up too much. When you somebody says, "Hey, it's the greatest thing ever," when you go in there, it's not going to be the greatest thing ever. So it's a good movie. It's got a lot of humor in it, and it's got a very quirky story. So it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to make it Saturday morning.
The thing is, though, that's a movie that if you even read a review on it, like. Yeah, I mean, they can't. I don't know how anybody could review it without giving it away. You know, it's one of those movies that you can't really talk about.
The movie itself. I will say this: that within the first 15 minutes, you kind of have an idea what's going on. You don't know why. It kind of later on we get more information. So it's not a big secret movie that you have to wait till the end of the movie to figure out what's going on. Before the end of the movie, you know everything that's going on if you pay attention, which you really don't have to pay attention that closely. It's pretty evident, and they actually say what's going on.
Huh.
I will say this. I'll say...
I'll
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I would love to talk to you, but you're breaking up really bad, and it's kind of fading in and out. I don't know if it's because I'm calling from a cell phone, or it sucks because I've been trying all night to get in. But,
if you want to try to call back, call us right back.
All right, bye.
Oh, well, is that him already?
Oh.
Hello.
No.
You're on different. Dead Pit with Creepy Kentuckian and Steve. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on? This is Scott from California.
What's going on, brother?
Hey.
Are you another first-time caller?
Not too much. Just want to say on your Facebook page, I posted that Friday the 13th signing at the Dark Delicacies. You know, the video with Manfrini and Adrian King and all them.
Oh, yeah. So you get to go to all that live, man. That's got to be amazing.
That's the cool thing about being here in California, because, you know, there's more like special like signings and stuff like that.
What's the
Delicacies? I'm like, really,
what's the crowd like for those, like those signings? Is it like pretty massive, or?
Actually, it's not too bad. Yeah, like Dark Delicacies especially, it's like, you know, you might be waiting in line for like a half hour at the longest. You know, you get like through like fairly quickly, so.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like the only thing that really like bogs down the line is if like, you know, some guy bought like, you know, like 50 copies of like, you know, like the CD, and you know, you're like, you know, having to like sit there like waiting while like each one gets signed, but.
That guy was thinking ahead.
I love that podcast you did with Manfredini. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like I like just listened to that.
Oh, yeah. Manfredini's a great guy, man. I actually was talking to him for like 30 minutes before we even started recording, you know. I mean, he's like one of the guys.
Yeah, like, yeah.
If you see him at a show, like a convention, or you, of course, you see him like in California or wherever, he's just a cool fucking guy. I mean, he'll talk to you.
Yeah. He's got totally a cool guy, like wacky guy, cracking jokes and all that good stuff.
I'd like to ask.
I liked him because he thought I was a bodybuilder, so I thought that was cool.
I would like to ask him about The Hills Have Eyes too, though. What was the process in making the soundtrack for that?
It's like when I was there at that signing, I was asking him about the children's soundtrack. You know, if that would ever get put out there. But yeah, he said there's like no way that'll ever be put on CD.
Well,
oh, the 1980 movie or so.
The 1980 movie. Because he was like literally doing that at the same time he did Friday the 13th. And if you watch Children, I mean, it's like some of the same cues are like exactly the same as Friday the 13th.
Well, it's like
that's a Saturday Nightmares original right there.
A lot of the music though is like even in The Hills Have Eyes 2. Like I was watching that again recently, the Blu-ray of it. Like it's like Friday the 13th, man. It's like Friday the 13th in the desert with dirt bikes.
I heard you guys talking about that new Blu-ray release. It's like of all the friggin' movies to do like a nice pristine like transfer of.
Yeah, and as sad as that is, it actually looks like better than the original movie on Blu-ray.
But yeah, I might have to rewatch that again just for that great dog flashback.
The thing is, like I was talking to, we had Saturday Nightmares with Felcher, and he had some behind the scenes info a little bit on that, but he was saying like that movie originally was shelved for like 2 or 3 years and it wasn't completed. And then I guess when Elm Street came out and become a big hit and Wes Craven became a name again, it was released kind of without his permission and kind of like shoddily edited together, which kind of makes a little bit of sense if you watch it. But
Exactly. Yeah. Cause it's like, they had to like rush into like capitalize or.
Yeah.
It's like some like big star, like, you know, like has some like big movie, then all of a sudden it's like they pull out some like old movies that have been sitting on the shelf, and all of a sudden like, hey, here's a brand new movie with you now.
But man, it was good talking to you, and definitely like call back. We don't have too many listeners out west, it doesn't seem like so.
Yeah, exactly.
But
a buddy of mine has been listening for the past couple of years, and he like keeps like talking about it, and so I'm like, all right, you finally check it out. And so just been like the past month, I've been like catching up on you guys' podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully we'll be doing a couple more interviews. I mean, it's kind of hard to track down people that we haven't talked to, but, I mean, maybe we can get some people back again that have been on before. So.
Yeah, you're kind of like, if you're going to, like, conventions and, like, getting them, you're just kind of at the mercy of, like, whoever's there. And
We usually don't do that anyway, though, because you can't really get that good of an interview at a convention. They're like,
you guys are like totally right on about like the current state of like horror conventions and all that.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit. I think everybody agrees, but like they don't agree enough to actually not spend their money. That's the problem.
Now it's just like they keep on like coming up with new ways to charge people and all that.
Except for Steve. Now Steve is a tightwad motherfucker. Now he will not spend a dime. He'll like sit around looking at the latest Dead Pit DVD, and he'll just be looking at it, and he'll wait for Dana to buy it for him. So, anyway, man, you take it easy, and it was good talking to you. We're going to try to take a couple more phone calls here.
Cool, sounds good. All right, talk to you guys later.
See you, man.
See you, bud.
That was somebody from out west, Steve. Steve lost his Dead Pit smile for a little while. He was starting to think, well, we're not that big of a deal anymore. How many fucking phone calls are we taking tonight, Steve? How many?
5, 6.
I think a little bit more than that, buddy.
6.
I want to try to wait on that one fella to call back before we, let's see if this might be him here. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian. And Steve, who's this?
Hey, this is Dan. How you guys doing tonight?
Dirty Dan.
Dan the Man. What's going on?
I was just going to see if I could talk a little wrestling with you guys for a minute.
You surely can. I'm always open to talk some wrestling.
Cool. I'm saying, did you see the No Soul Bars finally getting a DVD release?
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I was hoping that they're going to have like a maybe a Zeus and a Hulk Hogan audio commentary, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But I'm just happy it's finally coming out.
Zeus, huh?
Zeus could just be on there.
That'd be great if they did that.
That's all he'd have to do. He'd snore a little bit.
You know, brother.
I would love to hear even Vince McMahon doing a commentary over it, or some. I mean, I would just love to hear like what was going on, because that, yeah. Like, we were watching that. I guess it was at Dark Woods like 2 years ago. We did like a. We were just hanging out in the room, yeah. And we watched the DVD of it, and it's the first time I'd seen it in years. And I didn't remember it being that damn hokey when I was a kid. And I was watching it. Hogan, like, the scene where he just kind of elevates and jumps out of a fucking limousine from the, you know, jumps out of the top of it, busts the top of it open. I'm like, who the fuck can do? I'm pretty sure nobody can do that. But, and Stan Hansen.
Oh, that's a great scene, though. The guy shits himself.
Yeah. Dookie.
Dookie. And then the, what are they, when they go to the wrestling bar, and them two guys, look what we got here, two teeny wainers.
Teeny wainers. Well, that was Stan Hansen, too. Like, I never realized that back in the day. But I'm surprised they're coming out with it, because, for one thing, like, Hogan is in TNA, so it doesn't really make a lot of sense. They're not going to have him involved in it at all, although I don't know if he'd want to be involved in it anyway.
Right.
And the fact that it's so, like, I don't know if they're going to kind of market it as a tongue-in-cheek shitty movie or whatever, but in all honesty, like, it's, even as, you know, cheesy as it is, it's way, way more entertaining than something like The Chaperone or something, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's Hogan's best movie out of all the crap he's done.
I think so, too, yeah, because I remember...
that and Suburban Commando is pretty entertaining, but... And I know Old Bars is a classic childhood memory there.
Yeah, and still to this day, I think it's the only one they ever did that was about professional wrestling, which is strange, since they're a professional wrestling company.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And then as I see what you guys thought of the return of Brock Lesnar on Raw the last month or two.
Yeah, somebody asked about that a little bit earlier. I think they fucked it up, is what I said, and I think it can be fixed. But
I'm not liking it.
I just don't get it. I think that whenever he comes back, maybe if they can fucking inject him with some of Triple H's superoids, so he can look like he did, you know, in 2003, and put him in his wrestling gear and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it'll work. And
Jimmy John's, man.
That way they can be like
sponsored by Jimmy John's.
I think if they bring him back, though, if they do it like that and they're like, wow, this is the Brock Lesnar of old, you know, this isn't the UFC Brock Lesnar. So maybe they'll do that, but who knows.
Did you like the Extreme Rules pay-per-view with that match and him and Cena?
I actually liked that show a lot, really. I was surprised.
That was a good show.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Daniel Bryan and Sheamus did an amazing match.
Oh, yeah, they just kept putting that off for years. It was a dark match at, what, WrestleMania 27 or whatever it was. And
yeah, I mean, they're really...
They've been waiting for that match for a long time.
I think they're really impressed with Daniel Bryan. And I'm glad, too, because the guy deserves it. I mean, I remember actually watching him, Shawn Michaels, like when he was in the Shawn Michaels Wrestling Academy. They had a TV show or something. I think he was called the American Dragon. He had, like, a mask or something on then. So I've been watching him quite a long time.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that they're finally like, it seems like they've got some confidence in him. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's all his ass right there. I mean, that was him that did that. So. But. Anyway, man, appreciate you calling, and we'll talk wrestling anytime you want to call back. I mean, I don't know when we'll be doing this again, but it seems to have been a success so far.
But and it's the first time I got to call in. I'm always working on Thursdays when you guys were doing it when I first got addicted to the show, and I finally said, well, I'm just going to take my break at 8 o'clock and go call them then because I always work nights at my store.
Hell yeah. Well,
but it was great. I finally got to call in, and
well,
guys are awesome.
I'm glad, man. I appreciate it. And you know, when we do this again, hope to hear from you next time, too.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get to do it again. All right. But, all right, you guys have a good night, and hope everything goes all right.
All right, buddy, you take it easy.
Thanks.
When he said that you guys are awesome, Steve, he's talking about me.
No.
Well, you
can't take that away from me. You can't.
You have done a good job, Steve. And we want feedback. What do people think about Steve's job as the co-host tonight?
Oh, God. No.
We want a lot of feedback.
Get off of my ass.
Huh?
I'm trying to be quiet. Like, talk.
No, we want to get feedback. So if I need another co-host again, when Uncle Bill no shows and turns his back on the fans like he did, you know, a couple of years ago, I can have you on hand.
I think that the next convention we should all have a group where we just turn our backs on Uncle Bill.
Right, the Uncle Bill back turning club or something like that.
Back turning back club.
We could have like maybe a t-shirt of just Uncle Bill and his back. And then like the front of, and actually the back of the shirt would be him looking at you. And then the front of the shirt would be his back. I think that would be cool, actually. Yeah. We should fucking do that.
Do we want the old Uncle Bill with the ponytail, or do we want the khaki Uncle Bill?
We've got to have the khaki Uncle Bill. We actually do have another caller. Hopefully it's the dude that we had to. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio with Creepy Kentuckian and ST3B. Who's this?
This is Jacob from Mississippi.
What's going on in Mississippi?
Yeah, from Grenada. It's about 20 miles out of Jackson.
Hell yeah.
Who?
Y'all have some good barbecue down there, don't you?
Oh, yeah, the barbecue is great.
We all love barbecue.
Yeah.
I've never been to Mississippi, though.
Have y'all seen the new Hellraiser movie?
Did you say Hellraiser?
Yeah.
I've unfortunately seen it, yeah. I didn't think too much of it.
Me neither. I saw it just yesterday, and it was bullshit, because it really didn't. It used a lot of the stuff from the first one, but it wasn't anything but recycling.
I think that it, the story is on that one is, I think it's Lionsgate or whoever owns the rights to it, I don't even know. They were going to lose the rights to the franchise if they didn't make a new Hellraiser movie. So they got like the cheapest cast and crew they could get, and they made a movie in like 3 weeks. And that's what.
Yeah, it looked like. Yeah, it looked like they made it in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, cause they had asked, I think originally they did ask, Doug Bradley to reprise Pinhead, but he actually turned them down, which is kind of hilarious. Cause this guy's like at every convention
yeah,
known
like,
man.
Yeah, cause he's in every single one except this one. It's like, you know it's bad if Doug Bradley isn't in it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's horrible looking. I didn't get through the first 15 minutes of it.
Yeah, we did.
That's right. I sat through the whole thing, but.
Yeah, we did a video of it, though. Like, if you want to look up the. Right after we watched it, we did, like, a video review of it, and it's on YouTube somewhere if you just want to search for it. It wasn't a pleasurable experience.
When I get a computer. Right. I'd have to say it was about as much fun as sticking pins in my dick, so.
Well, for some people, that's a lot of fun.
That's a pin dickhead.
Pin dickhead. There you go.
I was online one time, and I saw this picture. This dude took nails and spread his nutsack out on the table and nailed his nutsack to a table.
Were you looking on Steve's Facebook page?
Yeah, I think I was.
Yeah, I know he's into that sort of thing.
Is there any news about a
bankup.com?
Is there any news of a new Eli Roth movie? Because I'm kind of on hard times right now, so I don't have any. I don't have a computer, so I wouldn't be able to check it out or anything.
Eli Roth. I haven't heard anything about Eli Roth making a new movie.
He's got a show coming on Netflix called, I forgot what the hell it's called, but
is it called Angel?
He's making, what's that?
Hello?
I mean, I recently got cabin fever again.
What was the show he was going to do, Steve?
Let me look it up real quick. But it's something that, it's going to be strictly for Netflix. Crap.
But you're supposed to be professional on here, goddammit.
Something like...
It's Eli Roth's Netflix Spectacular.
Yeah, professional, goddammit.
It's Netflix.
I don't have my certification like Uncle
This
Taylor.
Is hilarious, though, man. Like, yeah. He's doing shit on fucking Netflix. Really. We do need to call Eli Roth again, by the way. Yeah.
By the way, I finally got my hands on Dewey's 3, and I have to say that was fucking hilarious.
Ghoulies 2?
Ghoulies go to college.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, Ghoulies go to college. Yeah.
That was the bomb diggity.
Yeah, that's a classic piece of cinema right there. Ghoulies 3. All right.
Hemlock Grove is the name of the
series. Steve's still looking for the name of that Eli Roth show, and he still don't have it. How dare you, Steve?
Yeah, dude. It's him.
Well, Steve, I think you can stop looking because nobody cares. Like, the only people that aren't going to watch that movie or that show is probably going to be Eli Roth and his mom. So.
That's true. But anyway, man, I think you're going to be our last caller. It was good hearing from you, and you keep it creepy down there in Mississippi.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm letting all the pillbillies down here know that Dead Pit is the only show for horror lovers like myself. And I just want y'all to know that I absolutely love the show, and you guys are my heroes.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate it, and it's good talking to you, and you call back anytime.
I definitely will.
All
right. You stay creepy.
You too.
Thanks, Steve.
Later, bro.
That guy was loud as fuck. I couldn't hear what you were saying. What was the name of the show?
Hemlock Grove.
Is it like a? So it's like an episodic
book or something.
It's like an episodic show.
Yeah, there's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean Netflix is getting to the TV. Basically, they got like new episodes of Arrested Development coming on, and then now they also got this show coming on, Hemlock Grove.
I gotta say though, that's kind of pathetic.
I don't know.
I'm not talking about Netflix doing it. It's a good idea for Netflix to do that, but I mean, is he not like? Can he not make another theatrical movie? I don't think so. I think that the producers have basically told him to fuck off.
Well, I'm looking at his. Actually, it looks like he's just producing it. He's not directing it.
Oh, okay.
He's got a lot of production stuff coming up. He's got one called Corpus Christi. That's kind of.
Is it about T-shirt Joe?
But as far as directing, he doesn't have anything after Inglourious Basterds except this. He's directing the first episode of Hemlock Grove.
That's. I don't know. We're going to get Eli Roth on the show, folks. I've got Eli's number. I'm going to give that motherfucker a call. I'm going to call him.
Well, he's got a... Look at him. He wrote a screenplay called The Man with Iron Fists. That sounds like a kung fu movie. I'd love to see some shit like that. That'd be awesome.
Well, is he not doing anything with the new Quentin Tarantino movie, that Django Unchained? Does he not have anything to do with that?
No. He's not in it.
Well, shit, he's pissed off.
He's in a movie
now.
Yeah.
How
he's
the fuck?
Here's,
what I don't get, though. It's not really Eli Roth related. How in hell is Tom Savini getting in this shit? Like, he's in that new Django movie. How?
You think? I don't think he's exactly ugly.
I'm not talking about him being fucking ugly or not. He's just a fucking washed up piece of shit.
Oh, he's a cult figure, and you know how turn him into he'll be like Pam Grier to Jackie Brown. He'll be like
Tom
Savini will be the next big.
You know what I would do if I was Quentin Tarantino, buddy? My opinion. I want you to pick some fucking people that can fucking act. Fucking, there's all kinds of
actors in.
I know, but like, instead of getting Tom Savini can't fucking act. Can he really? I mean, I think he sucks in about everything he's ever been in.
Really?
That's the only one though, man. And like, I don't know. Anyway, like, why don't you get fucking Bill Moseley? Bill Moseley's a fucking great actor. Jeffrey Combs is another one that's really good. William Forsythe.
Yeah, what's up? It just kind of stinks that, like, some of these guys are getting stuck in these, you know, lower-budget movies that never make it to the theater. And, you know, back in the day, they were, like, you know, all of them are good actors.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeffrey Combs, from that Masters of Horror episode, The Black Cat, that was one of the best ones they had. I think he won some type of award for that, because that was just an awesome episode, and he used it and why it was so good.
I mean, he's awesome in everything he's in. It's like, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're going to give some of these guys nods, won't you give some of them nods that are actually they deserve it? You know what I'm saying? Those guys are nice guys. Like, I don't know of anybody that has went up to Savini at a convention and been like, wow, that's just the nicest guy. He's like the nicest guy. He deserves all these accolades and shit. No. I mean, I don't have anything personally against Savini. We had him on the show. He was a nice guy then. You meet him in person. No. I mean, he's just, he acts like he doesn't want to be there at all. So, I guess that's it for the show, though. I was going to try to let this guy, I think it was John, that, he had some technical problems. I apologize. He never did get back through. We've had a ton of freaking callers tonight, so I guess that means the call-ins will return.
And,
Uncle Bill's chagrin.
Good stuff to talk about. So good.
Hell yeah.
Good call-in.
And I think possibly something that'd be a good idea to do whenever we do the call-ins again is like. You know, whenever a big horror movie or something comes out, the next Thursday or something, we'll have a call-in. People want to talk about it or something. Because that seems to be like, you know, people want to talk about Cabin in the Woods quite a bit and stuff like that. So, holla. You know what I'm saying, Steve?
Woo, baby.
Hey, player. Shit, yeah.
I understand, player. I hear you, player.
Somebody's going to get an ass whipping.
Somebody's going to get it, yeah.
Somebody gonna get it. Somebody done stole my donut. So anyway, Steve, buddy, I gotta give it to you. You helped me out in my time of need.
Yeah.
The Sex Hell DVD is yours. That's your reward.
Oh my God.
I'm not gonna mail it to you though. I'll just wait and give it to you right now.
Have to go. Every man's got to go through his sex hell to get to heaven.
That's right. If you want to get to heaven, you got to watch Sex Hell.
Right. Oh, I'm going to raise a little hell.
You're going to raise some sex hell?
Yeah, baby.
We will be back probably next week, because I'm not going to let Uncle Bill get away with this. I'm going to beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
He thinks just because he's on the cover of Time Magazine this week, he can no-show Deadpit.
Yep.
Did you see that cover, Steve?
Big. I did, and I can't believe that Jess has not kicked him out of the house yet for doing that nasty, nasty thing on the cover of the magazine.
That was his mama. Uncle Bill's got a hot mom,
wow.
Didn't he?
Hey, Uncle Bill, your mom's hot.
Your mama's got some nice little perky titties. You can't blame him. Hey, if I had a mom look like that, I'd be sucking on her titties all goddamn day.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know you're just saying.
So, again, everybody, thanks for calling in. I mean, this was a very successful call-in portion. All new people, pretty much, aside from Crater. I'm impressed, Steve, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's really amazing that, you know, everybody kind of, all the regular guys just took the night off and got all the new people in.
Hell yeah. So, that is it for the show, though. We took phone calls for like fucking about an hour and 20 minutes. So, we will be back to the regular format probably next week. Steve, we'll see you back on the show at some point. If you want to do your own segment, that's all right. You tried that at one point, though, didn't you? You kind of quit.
Yeah, I ran out of movies.
Yeah. Steve's a quitter.
I'm a quitter, yeah. You can't win if you don't quit.
Yeah. But remember, like that guy said, I'm the hero, okay? I'm a guy's hero.
No, he said I was awesome, man. I was their heroes.
No, he said I was.
I mean, this is, I thought he said you guys.
Yeah, but he was talking about Uncle Bill, too, which,
Well, I'm surrogate for Uncle Bill, so now I'm a hero.
You need to get you a little spiked wig, and you can wear it, and you might be able to pull off Uncle Bill. Get you some khaki pants.
Why do I need spiked hair? I can get like I can buy a little kid's hair wig and khaki pants.
That's what I'm saying. Just go to the barber shop and get him to just save you some hair and you could glue it on your head. So, that is it for the show, folks. We will be back shortly. But until then, I'm a creepy Kentuckian.
I'm ST3B.
And you've been listening to the number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated ballers and shot callers of War Talk Radio. We're your heroes here at Dead Pit.